Man, I love that song. Remember, I don't know if you remember this, that song is an original song by our very own Ben Diaz, and I just love the flavor of it. I love the message behind it, that when we feel like we cannot make it any further, it's the love of God that reminds us that you can make it. Again, our existence doesn't make any sense apart from the love of God. And so when I listen to that song and I listen to Ben play, that's again a great segue to kind of the Mentimeter question, that Ben has practiced hours and upon hours to become a great, not just a okay pianist, but a great pianist. And so let's. I want to engage the question. I want to engage. I'm going to bring Ben and BT. Now, we didn't do that song so we could actually talk about Ben being a great pianist. So, but it just so happened that way. So, but we have Ben and BT back on the on a screen. And so our Mentimeter question is, what are those things, those qualities in making progress, the most important qualities on a scale of 1 to 5, those essential, most important qualities to make progress in any activity, be it sports or music or et cetera, crafts, you name it. So we have, is there anything on here, fellas, that surprises you, or that like, no, this is the one I chose because of this. Talk to me, Goose.
I think he's talking to you, BT.
Yeah, man. I'll take it. I'm not surprised to see passion lower than commitment, right? Like, I would be curious, like, how many people are super good at something that would also say they're very passionate at it. Like, I'm not into working out, and that's probably why I'm not working out. Like, I'm not passionate about it, but if I had to be committed to it, like if the doctor said, "Hey, you gotta get your health together," that would increase my commitment, but I still wouldn't be very passionate about it.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. There are some people just do things because you just do them, and you may not necessarily have a passion regarding. And your example is a great example. I know people who work out, but they like afterwards and even before, it's like, man, I don't want to do this. And afterwards, I'm glad I did it, but I didn't want to do it. So your example is a great one. What about you, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, in looking at what people have answered, it looks like effort and commitment, right, are the two that more so than confidence and, as BT mentioned, passion. And so there's just something about the day in and day out. The way that we talk about it is the unseen, right? So you mentioned piano, or whether we're talking about sports or whatever. Oftentimes people see the finished product, but what they don't see are the thousands upon thousands of unseen hours where effort is taking place and commitment to that, right? Because there's really no payoff in those times. But as you're mentioning, BT, like the passion that people can operate from and the enjoyment they get just from learning that skill and developing that skill, and just even the same, what is that, like the adage of multiple steps in the same direction gets you farther, as opposed to just trying to go for a sprint. But there's that effort of the day in and day out that actually most people really don't see, that really gets you making progress, whether you realize it or not. Kind of like when a tree grows, you don't one day, just every day, if you look at the tree, but if you look at the tree 1 year and then come back to it the next year and you see how much growth has happened, you haven't seen the tree necessarily all that time growing. You know it's been happening, but it's oftentimes where you see those kind of mile markers where you're like, wow, a lot of growth has happened.
Just another question, and you can answer these quickly. So BT, your expertise is remind me, you went to Full Sail for what?
Yeah, for video production.
Video production.
Yep.
And how much time did you spend, in school and then outside of school in
Yeah.
terms of video production?
So my paper degree took 32 months to get, and I have a bachelor's degree for that. I've got like 3 years freelance experience, and then I've been here at Trinity for 4 years now.
Wow.
What's
Yeah.
yeah, what I've noticed an interesting shift though in like I haven't done a lot of creative work that I'm not getting paid for, and that's kind of dulled my skills. Like so much of the video production work that I do here at Trinity, I do because it's my job. Like I'm not doing a lot of like video production just because I love doing it. And I think like that lack of doing those unnecessary projects has kind of dulled and lessened my skill set a little bit.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So there's a sense of, again, you're talking about your passion and then also commitment going together. So Ben, you went to school for music. I mean, you piano, that's your mm-hmm. gig. So how many hours a day did you practice on your own? And then how many hours did your mother make you practice?
Definitely. Right. Yeah. I took the obligatory piano lessons growing up, but I still thank my mom to this day. But yeah, I mean, when I was in the thick of it in my grad school at Michigan State for piano, I mean, I was at the piano at least 8 hours a day. Wow. And then even in my free time, right. That's what I've noticed. Even like you're talking about BT is like, oftentimes the way that you spend your free time often dictates what you're passionate about and what you're going to make progress in. So, even in my free time, I was, trying out different, genres of music. So it could probably add up more than, when I was really in the thick of it, probably 8 hours, a day at a piano, which is, it's a lot of time sitting there.
That's good. And that's a great, in moving into our relationship with God, here it is, you've become proficient at what you do, in piano and your commitment to creating videos. And again, it's not necessarily, some of the things you desire to do, BT, but you've gotten what you do. You're good at what you do, as a part of your job. So I want you to think about, and again, thank you all. Thank you all, for that. I want you to think about, what BT and Ben just said. And, there is, just as they've made progress in those areas of ministry or those areas of life, the job that I do, I went to school for it. I mean, teaching and preaching, that's my job. That's what, not just my job, but part of my calling. God called me at 16 to preach, and there's a passion behind it. And I hope that comes across. There's a passion. It's my job, but man, I love doing it as well. By the same token, as followers of Jesus, I know everybody who's listening to me, particularly fathers, you want to make progress. You want to make progress in your walk with Jesus. You want to make progress in your relationship with your kids. You want to make progress in your relationship in your marriage for those who are married. You want to make progress in your job. But let's kind of hone in on our relationship with Jesus, because that's what Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. So if you have a copy of the scriptures, either a physical copy or electronic copy, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to kind of walk briefly and quickly through this particular passage, because here's what I believe, and I want to read this slowly so you can savor it and desire it as much as I do. So every follower of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're walking with Jesus, and I know this is what you desire, can make progress. Again, if it's one step or if it's two steps or if it's three steps, appreciable progress. You want to move forward. Some of you are stuck in a rut, and I've been there, and you want to get out of that rut. You want to move forward in your relationship with Jesus. You and I can make progress, and here it is, in our marathon journey. I want you to know that this is not a sprint. It is a marathon journey, and I hope that relieves some people that you're not trying to beat anybody else out. This is a marathon. Nobody is trying to time you. You're just saying, we want to finish the race. We want to finish the 26 miles, the 26 plus miles. We want to actually finish the race. And so every follower of Jesus can make progress in their marathon journey. It's a journey with Jesus. How do you do that? By adding 5 transformative exercises to our spiritual training program. Guess what? You and I are in training. You and I are in training. Every day we are training to become more like Jesus. And so you and I cannot succeed in our marathon journey if we are not doing certain exercises. Exercises that actually transform our thinking, transform our lives. And so I'm going to give you five. We're going to do three, and then we're going to take a moment to reflect on those. We're going to have a time of worship, and then we're going to give you the last two. I'm going to give you these quickly, and drop questions. If I'm going too fast, drop questions in the chat, in the comment section. We have some great chat hosts who are going to help with that. And on the back end of that, we can take a look at some of the questions that you put in. So here's the first exercise that you and I, first transformative exercise that you and I have to add to our regimen, add to our daily lives so that we might make progress. Here it is. The first one is admit my imperfections. You thought that was going to be hard, right? You thought that was going to be like something really weighty. That's what it is. Admit my imperfections. Here's the verse. This is Paul in verses 12 and 13. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Now, what Paul is talking about here is he has just led us and says he wants to become more like Jesus, attaining the resurrection, that is, having the power of the resurrection and at work in his life and fellowshipping with Jesus in his suffering. In other words, Paul is saying, I want to progress and I want to become mature in my relationship with Jesus. And even the Apostle Paul, who had been a Christian 30 years prior to sending this letter to the Philippians, and Paul to the Philippians was a spiritual giant. And here you have a spiritual giant saying, I'm not perfect. I have progress to make. I have not reached the pinnacle of my growth in my relationship with Jesus. I have more mountains to climb. I can read more. I can engage with Jesus more. And Paul in this moment says, I am admitting my imperfections. In other words, Paul was emotionally intelligent. One of the attributes of an emotionally intelligent person is admitting our weaknesses and admitting our strengths. And Paul says, hey, listen, I have imperfections. I have not arrived. I have not made it. And this is the first exercise that we have to remind ourselves because here it is. When we fail to admit our imperfections, then we try to protect our persona. Here it is. This is so cool. Everybody else knows that you're not perfect but you. And you try to hide your imperfections, and everybody around you sees that you're not perfect. And guess what? They're just waiting on us to admit that we're not perfect. You're not a perfect dad. I'm not a perfect dad. I'm not a perfect husband. You're not a perfect husband. You're not a perfect Christian. I'm not a perfect Christian. I have miles to go before I sleep. That's an old Robert Frost kind of a line in a poem. And so the first exercise is to be honest with yourself and honest with others. That you know something, man, I am not perfect. I fail in this area. And as dads, I want to talk to you for a second. As dads, man, we try to hide our imperfections to make people think that we have it all together. And the reality is, Dad, I fail, you fail. But the moment and the sooner you and I can, number one, admit to God, and here it is, admit to another person, that's when growth and progress begin to happen. So the first exercise that you and I have to have to be put in our exercise program, our spiritual exercise program, is to finally admit our imperfections. Again, it requires honesty and self-awareness. Guess what? God has so much grace when you and I say, I'm not perfect. Jesus was the only one. That's the reason we have the Holy Spirit. He helps us to be more mature as we follow him. Here's the second one. The second one is this. And again, here, these are just so, so simple. Are you ready for it? Are you ready? Here it is. And this is, I think, out of all of them, I'm going to probably say this is about all of them, but I'm saying in my estimation, this one is probably the biggest one. Forget my past. Forget my past. Here it is. But this is Paul talking again. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. So Paul says, I am going to admit my imperfections. I know I have room to grow. And then he says, I am going to forget my past. This is the second exercise. And in order to make progress, appreciable progress on our marathon journey with Jesus, we have to do what Paul says, forget my past. And when Paul says, forget my past, he is actually saying, stop remembering our past failures. Stop remembering our past sins. And here it is. This is probably feels unlikely, but forget even our past successes. Failure and our past sins actually prevent us from moving forward. And one of the ways we can begin to move forward in terms of forgetting our past sins and failures, particularly our past sins, is that the Bible calls it repentance. And repentance is a big word for I am going to walk away from my sin, and I am going to walk toward my Heavenly Father who loves me. So repentance is I'm walking away, I'm forgetting my past sins, and we have a lot of them, right? I'm going to forget my past sins, and I'm going to walk toward the God who is going to overload and shower me with grace. Now, this is the reason why forgetting my past sins is really, really an important exercise. Guess what? Here it is. God has forgotten my past sins. Did you hear that? God has forgotten my past sins. So why do I hold on to something that God has forgotten? Why do I hold on to what God has cast as far as the east is from the west? Why do I hold on to those sins? Here, check this out. God has already forgotten what we refuse to forget, and he's already forgiven what we still regret. Now, I want you to let that sink in. Those are powerful, powerful words that you and I are regretting things that we've done in the past, past sins, and God has already forgotten it. Fathers, lean in just a little bit. I know when you had your child or your wife had your child, you made a promise, right? Man, I'm going to be better than my dad. I'm going to be the best father ever. Man, I'm going to take them to parks and zoos, and I'm going to do homework with them. I'm going to tell them stories at night. Take my daughters out on dates, right? And then life happened. You got busy at work, and all of a sudden you start forgetting that you made these promises. And you feel like, man, I have failed as a father. I have failed as a husband. I have failed even as an employee and an employer. I have failed as a friend. My friends, here's the invitation. You can't do anything about the past but learn from it. If you hold on to past failures and sins, it will haunt you for the rest of your life. And you won't be able to take steps forward as a dad, take steps forward as a husband, take steps forward as a friend. I would say forget past successes as well. Now I'm saying celebrate them. But then once you celebrate them, forget them. You know why? Because past successes can make us lazy. Past successes can make us feel like we've arrived. Enjoy the past successes and say, we still have work to do. So the very first one is, to admit my imperfections. The second one is to forget my past failures, past sins. The way we forget past sins is to say, I will repent and I will confess and repent and I will move forward because God has forgotten. Past failures, I will admit my failure to myself, admit my failure to someone else. I will learn from them and I will move forward. Past successes, I will enjoy them, but I will move forward because there is more work to do. And then here's the third one before we break for a time of reflection and worship. Keep pressing forward. Keep pressing forward. This is what Paul says in 12 through 14. But I press on to make it my own because Christ has made me his own. And straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so what Paul is talking about here, he says, I keep pressing forward. What is he pressing forward for? What is the goal? I think there are two goals here. The first goal is Christ-likeness, to become more like Jesus. Every day you wake up, don't drop out of the Christian race. I know you're tired. Some of you are tired. Keep pressing forward, putting one foot in front of the other. Lock arms with some other individuals and say, can you help me make progress in my walk with God? This is what Paul is talking about. I want to be like Jesus, and I want to keep making progress. I want to keep reading my Bible. I want to keep hanging out in community. I want to keep praying. I want to keep worshiping God. I want to keep making progress. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. And I think Paul is also talking about here rewards. So we'll probably talk about this at a later time, but every Christian, we will be rewarded for how we have lived our Christian life. Now, we're not going to be rewarded for works that we do, that is to become saved, but once we become believers, then there are works that were given before the foundations of the world for your life and mine, and we are going to be evaluated for the work that we do. We're going to be evaluated for our motives behind the work that we did. We're going to be evaluated whether we were couch potatoes or whether we were activists in our relationship with Jesus. And so I think Paul has these two things in mind: Christ-likeness, but also eternal rewards for the life that we lived after we became followers of Jesus. Man, I wish I had time to dig deep there. That is, we will all stand before the living Christ, and our lives will be evaluated. Our motives will be evaluated. And that's where either God will say, good and faithful servant, well done, or he will burn up the works, according to First Corinthians chapter 3. He will burn up the works because they weren't done with the proper motives, but we'll still be saved. We'll still go to heaven, but all the stuff that we did it out of improper motives, all of those things. I wish I had time. I really, really wish I had time. So keep pressing forward. Dads, I know you have failed in the past. Start again. Today is a day to start again. Keep pressing forward. If you need to write an apology letter to your dad, if you need to write an apology letter to your son, to your daughter, keep pressing forward, because there's something about, number one, admitting our imperfections, forgetting our past, and to say, you know something, I'm not going to let those things hold me back. I'm going to keep, even if it's just one step of progress, it's progress. Drop some hearts and likes. Drop some hearts and likes in the comments section. Listen, ask questions. We have some chat hosts who will help to serve during this time. So here it is. Here it is. I want you to pause right now, and I want you to reflect on these three, and our worship team is going to lead us in this section of the worship gathering. All hail King Jesus. Yeah, and he's a good king. He's a good king. He's a king that says that when you admit your imperfections, he's not going to say, like, how come you're not more perfect than that? He's not going to do that. He's a good king. He's a good king that doesn't hold those against him. He's a good king that forgives our past sins, and he upholds us in our past failures, and he doesn't let us rest on our past successes. He is also this king that actually gives us the energy and the grace to keep pressing forward. He's not driving us, but he's encouraging us. He is inviting us into the marathon. He's inviting us into the journey. And so here's the fourth one. Here's the fourth one. And I want to go through these next ones, and so that you can again, relatively quickly. But I want to give them to you so you can let it metabolize a little bit. Practice what you know. Practice what you know. This is what Paul says in 3:15 and 16. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. But here's the verse. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Now, what Paul is saying here is, hey, what I've taught you, what I've given you, what you've learned, Philippians, you don't need a new conference. You don't need a new something. Just simply practice what you've learned. Practice what you, everybody's in different stages. Everybody who's watching me right now, you're in different stages of your faith and your spiritual growth. Now someone who has grown a lot, God is not going to hold you accountable to what you don't know. He's going to hold you accountable to what you know. For those who know a little bit more, they're going to be held accountable for what they know. This is what I say all the time. I am educated beyond my obedience, and so are you. You and I are educated beyond our obedience. Like, I know principles, you know principles that you're not practicing, that I'm not practicing, and God says, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you just, instead of trying to get the next secret to be this or that, the next secret to be a perfect dad, or how about practicing what you already know? I'm going to say this, dads, you already know some things. You already know the right things to do. You know some right things to do. You know, spending time with your kids. That builds into them. Telling your kids you love them and to bless them with your words. You already know that. Just taking time to look them in the eye and laugh with them and call out the gold in their lives. Dad, I think most dads, even intuitively, we know that. So, well, Marvin, I don't know. We're going to get to one other point in a few minutes. I don't know how to do that. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. I don't know how, but there are some things you know. Say, man, I'm going to go after that. You're a follower of Jesus. There are some things you know to pray. You know that your relationship with your Heavenly Father is solidified. It grows when you talk to your Father. You know that attending or the worship gathering, your heart leaps and grows when you gather together in worship with your brothers and sisters. You know that you want other people to know Jesus like you know Jesus. We already know that. So the thing that I'm asking God for me right now, God, help me to, to put into practice what I know. There's a guy by the name of Peter Senge. He says there are three openings. In order for change to happen, there are three openings that has to happen. The opening of the mind, the opening of the heart, and the opening of the will. We get a lot of information and we know a lot of information. We can even feel about certain things, but where the gap lies for me is what I know and what I feel, and then finally taking the step to actually do it. So practice what you know. Paul says, I've taught you a lot, Philippians. So take the next 30 days, the next 14 days to begin to put into practice those things you've already learned. So here's the last one. Here's the last one. And we gotta go. So follow godly examples. Follow godly examples. And this is what Paul says: brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. And then he goes on in these latter verses. I'm not gonna read them all, and he says, here are examples that you should not follow. Individuals who are living according to the flesh, living according to their sinful nature, they are bad examples. But the first part of this verse, he says, I want you to keep your eyes on, and I want you to imitate people who are doing it right, who are godly examples. And listen, I'm the first to admit, and my dad wasn't a perfect dad. He wasn't a perfect dad, but there are some examples that I have in my life today because he gave those to me. I kind of look at the not so good examples that he put in place, and I said, I cannot live that way. Those are examples that I will not bring into my relationship with my sons and my daughter. But the things that I appreciate, I brought those things. My dad was a great provider. My dad loved sports. I love sports today because my dad, he loved sports. Those examples that I bring into my life. But there are some other examples. I'm saying, oh, time out. I can't bring those. And I know you probably feel the same way. And some of you are listening to me right now. Say, man, I didn't have an example as a dad. My dad was out of my life. And so I had to. So here's the point. Look at some other godly men. And this is what I would advise. Text them, call them, come up to them and say, hey, can I have 30 minutes of your time? I don't really know how to be a dad. It takes a lot to admit your imperfections in that, right? In that area, right? I don't know how. Man, I just watch the way you love your kids, the way you spend time with them. Like, I don't know how to do that. Can you walk alongside me? This is what discipleship is all about. Can you walk alongside me? Can you give me some of your best practices so that I can be a better dad? Or if you're just not, if we're not even talking about dads, we're talking about other Christians. You watch the way other Christians live their lives and say, man, you like you exude joy, and there's life that just coming off of you. And can you walk with me? Can you show me how to pray like you pray? And I would give anything to be the kind of Christian you are, the kind of dad you are, the kind of mom you are. Paul says, follow godly examples. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. I hear what you're saying, but Marvin, I'm not perfect. But we've already talked about that. You're admitting your imperfections, right? Man, I got a past, Marvin. Like you just said, well, you're forgetting your past. Like, and you're keeping moving. So you can actually share your life. That's what we just heard, stories, right? Mm-hmm. Stories. Man, follow godly examples and invite them into your life. Listen to their stories and let them listen to your stories. And I guarantee you, you and I will make progress in our marathon journey with Jesus by adding these practices, these exercises to our spiritual training program. Man, I'm so excited. I'm so excited that we get to do this together. We get to do this in community. And so listen, my brothers, my sisters, listen, as you try to put into practice some of these exercises are not going to come easy, but keep at it. Keep practicing. And so as you do, may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. Hey, listen, fathers, happy Father's Day. We salute you, brothers, because you seriously, you are our kings. And throw that meat on the grill. I'm coming over a little bit later. And man, we love you all. And I'm turning back over to BT. Take us home, BT.
Yeah, Marvin, when's this cookout challenge? Like,
I don't know. We gotta put a date on the calendar.
That's gotta happen, man.
Like, I threw it out there. That's right.
Yeah, I want that needs to happen. We can't just blow by that. Yeah, man, Marvin, thank you for the challenge today, man. Like, we were talking during the reflection time, and like, man, this is some strong stuff that you brought today. And dude, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the message you brought, man. So
cool beans.
Good. Yeah. I think we got to wrap up here pretty quick so we can get ready for the next one. But if you have not checked in, swing over to info.wearetrinity.com. Make sure you do that. Am I forgetting anything?
I think Marvin said we just bring the grill and he's going to provide the meat. That's what I heard.
Yeah, that's a second that.
That's, man, that's some scripture right there. Marvin's bringing that meat,
dissonance.
You know?
Cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
Hearing what you want to hear, so.
But I think you said something come at me and something about limping away or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You come at me, man. You're going to limp away. Micah, bring your green egg. Mel Tucker, I know, you know, we're still getting to know each other, but bring your green egg and we'll make it happen.
Man, as long as we're talking about grills, I just got a cast iron griddle that I put on my gas grill. Oh. So I've been griddling everything as I grill, and you can, like, crack an egg and put bacon on there. And, yeah, it's amazing. I've been cooking steaks for breakfast.
Nice.
You know, like
you
do.
You can be a part of this
yeah,
challenge.
Yeah, man. I'm ready to throw down. We've been making steak fries on the griddle. Like, let's make that happen.
Yeah, I volunteer to be one of the judges. So.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Same here.
Yeah. I'm in.
Shoot. Well, guys, I hope you have an excellent afternoon. We're gonna wrap things up here. So, fathers, man, happy Father's Day. Hope you get to take that enjoyable Sunday nap if that's in your routine or whatever the day looks like for you, man. And y'all, man, y'all have a great day. Y'all, be come friends. Back now.